October 25th, 2018, coming up this hour.
The equity sell-off spreads from New York to Tokyo and London.
Stocks in Asia push deeper into a bear market after U.S. indexes erase gains for the year.
Volatility hits the highest level since February as strong earnings fail to halt the slide.
The FBI and other authorities are investigating a number of pipe bombs sent to top Democrats. Plus, the battle over transgender bias in the workplace heats up. I'm Pat Carroll. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. Another win for the Red Sox. They now lead the Dodgers 2-0 in the World Series. The Knicks lost in Miami. The Nets won in Cleveland. The Islanders lost to Florida.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Interactive Brokers, rated number one best online broker 2018 and a top online broker for the eighth consecutive year by Barron's. Visit ibkr.com/yib to learn more.
And yesterday's sell-off in U.S. stocks spread to Asia overnight, but it appears to be ending there, with European equities and U.S. futures gaining. It is 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 26 points this morning. Dow futures up 205. NASDAQ futures up 125. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. CAC in Paris up 1.3%. FTSE 100 that all changed. 10-year Treasury down 6/32nds, yield 3.12%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.8%. 5%. NYMEX crude oil is little change at $66.82 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.3% or $3.40 to $12.34.50 an ounce. The euro $1.14.08. The yen 112.34. Nathan.
Karen, the sell-off that wiped out gains for U.S. stocks did spread to Asia today, with the MSCI Asia Pacific Index falling 2%. Here with details, Bloomberg's Juliet Sally in Singapore. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. Asian stocks pushed deeper into a bear market Thursday, with many regional indexes posting falls of more than 2%, while safe havens like the yen, gold and Asian sovereign bonds climbed. The KOSPI entered bear market territory in South Korea, not helped out by weaker than expected third quarter GDP. In Tokyo, the topics closed at a September 2017 low, while the Nikkei 225 fell 3.7% to 21,268 points, an April low. Australia's ASX 200 closed down almost 3% to its lowest level in a year. In Hong Kong, the Hang Seng's painful October continued. The index set for a six-month losing streak, its worst run since 1982. But Chinese shares outperformed, the CSI 300 nudging into the black on close. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thank you. Stocks in Europe started the morning lower, but have since reversed those losses. Bloomberg Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. We are set to close higher on the Stock 600 for the first time in seven sessions. The automakers, the best performers, led by Peugeot, for the French carmaker, reassured investors with its third quarter update. We are still seeing a few underperformers, though, in media stocks leading those losses, near an eight-month low, led lower by the advertising giant WPP, also healthcare and telecoms in the red. The next catalyst for markets, though, comes at 7:45 a.m. Wall Street time, when the European Central Bank issues its latest policy decision. No changes expected, but investors will look to comments from President Mario Draghi when he addresses reporters at 8:30. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, we'll be keeping an eye on that, and all this comes after yesterday's 3% loss for the S&P 500 and a 4.4% slump for the NASDAQ. The sell-off is raising questions about what the Federal Reserve will do next year. Bloomberg Markets reporter Mark Cranfield.
Consensus seems to be that this is still being viewed as a correction. This is not a deep enough sell-off to change the Fed's mind. They'll probably still go ahead with the December hike. But if November gets off to a very bad start, they'll certainly be discussing what should we be doing for next year. So certainly the odds are increasing that there could be some kind of a pause early in 2019, but probably not this year.
The market is now pricing in less than two hikes from the Fed next year.
Some cite concerns over corporate profits for the sell-off, despite operating income for S&P 500 companies surging by more than twice the historical average. Scott Minard is Chief Investment Officer for Guggenheim Partners.
There's a big seasonal pattern in stocks. Historically, September and October are bad times for equities. You know, everybody was so complacent back in August. You know, nothing was wrong, you know, and yet we're talking about trade wars, you know, Italy's in trouble. I mean, all the things that were there then and they're there today, everybody was willing to ignore, but now they're front and center and now we're worried about them.
The VIX is trading near its highest level since February. Right now it's at 23.17.
Earnings is a major focus again today. In Europe, we have results from UBS. Trading revenue at the Swiss bank rose 19%. The firm is also buying back more shares than initially targeted. That has shares of UBS up 2.6% in Zurich.
Here in the U.S., shares of Tesla are up 10% in early trading after earnings that blew away expectations. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the details. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Karen. After seven consecutive quarters of losses, Tesla reported a profit in the third quarter, only the third time in its history that's achieved a profit. The turnaround was driven by sales of the Model 3. Ivan Feinseth at Tigress Financial has a neutral rating on Tesla, but sees this as a tremendous turning point for CEO Elon Musk.
I think this is a great outcome. He's finally delivered. He said we would be profitable in the second half of the year, and this is a huge profit.
Tesla reported adjusted net income of $2.90 a share. Free cash flow was about $881 million. Tesla has been one of the most shorted stocks, and the share price may be getting more of a boost as those shorts try to cover losses. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. Shares of Microsoft are up more than 4% in early trading after strong quarterly results. Better than expected sales from its cloud business helped Microsoft top estimates for revenue.
Shares of Ford gained more than 3% in late trading. The automaker surprised Wall Street with an earnings beat, mainly due to the sale of more high-priced trucks and SUVs.
And coming up today, we get earnings from Alphabet, Amazon, Twitter, Intel, and 65 other companies in the S&P 500.
Futures this morning are moving higher. S&P futures up 24 points, Dow futures up 193, and NASDAQ futures up 115. 10-year Treasury down 6/32, yield 3.12%, and NYMEX crude oil is little changed. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 6:07 on Wall Street. And for that world and national news, we bring in Bloomberg's Pat Carroll. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Nathan. Investigators continue to search for the person who sent crude pipe bombs to Hillary Clinton, former President Barack Obama, other prominent Democrats, and CNN. The devices were intercepted without physical harm. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio says more such packages may still be in circulation.
If you see a suspicious package, take it seriously. Don't dismiss it. Call the authorities, call 911, treat it urgently.
De Blasio spoke on CNN. In the wake of the pipe bombs, President Trump at a rally in Wisconsin last night had a message for the media.
The media also has a responsibility to set a civil tone and to stop the endless hostility and constant negative and oftentimes false attacks and stories. Have to do it.
It was just last week Trump praised a Montana congressman for body slamming a reporter. Saudi Arabia's crown prince says he would bring to justice the killers of journalist Jamal Khashoggi and prevent a permanent breach with Turkey. The Trump administration is telling the Supreme Court that transgender bias in the workplace is not sex discrimination. Bloomberg's Bob Moon has the details.
The Justice Department argues that businesses can discriminate against workers based on their gender identity without violating federal law. A Michigan funeral home wants the High Court to overturn a Court of Appeals decision that the company violated the law when it fired Amy Stevens, a transgender worker. The DOJ brief follows a New York Times report that the Department of Health and Human Services is considering limiting its definition of gender to sex assigned at birth. David Kilmnick heads the LGBT network.
It is giving a message to our young people that you are not worthy. Your lives are not worthy.
President Trump is also trying to ban transgender military recruits. Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe heads to Beijing today. Asia's two biggest economies have come under pressure from President Trump over trade imbalances. Bloomberg's Isabel Reynolds has more from Tokyo.
Abe is set to meet both Chinese Presidents Xi and Premier Li, and the two countries will agree to revive a currency swap agreement among a raft of deals to be agreed during the trip. They're also likely to discuss reviving military exchanges to try to reduce tensions over a long-running territorial dispute. In Tokyo, Isabel Reynolds, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air, and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pat Carroll. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Pat, thank you. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, so much for the narrative that David Price was a great regular season pitcher and can't win in the postseason. He had been 0-9 with a 6 ERA as the postseason started, but that was before he shut down the Astros to clinch the ALCS for the Red Sox. And before another strong outing last night in Boston in Game 2 of the World Series, Price got the win, was given the lead in the home half of the fifth inning.
Here it is. Swinging a looper to right field, sinking fast. It gets down for a base hit. Mookie scores. Here comes Benny. He scores, too.
4-2 was the final. Red Sox radio the call. The J.D. Martinez two-run single. Dodgers had taken their only lead of the series with two runs in the fourth off of Price, but after falling behind again, L.A. failed to get a base runner over the last four innings, and Price no longer has to be asked about postseason failures.
Let's try to keep it the same. You know, same as in Houston and same as every other game. You know, don't put any added pressure or anything of that nature. Just go out there and throw strikes and execute pitches and rely on my defense, and that's what we were able to do.
Red Sox lead the series 2-0 as they go to L.A. for Game 3 tomorrow. The Knicks' fourth loss in a row in Miami, outscored in the third quarter 45-20. The Heat won 110-87. Nets won in Cleveland 102-86. How much did the Cavs miss LeBron James? They're 0-4. LeBron just got his first win as a Laker, beating Phoenix in a Golden State's easy win last night. 51 points for Steph Curry. Islanders lost to Florida 3-2 in overtime. The Jets have lost starting running back Bilal Powell for the rest of the season due to a neck injury. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
John, thanks. In other sports news, Major League Soccer, I should say, is allowing teams to sell more ad space on their jerseys starting in 2020. MLS is going to remove its logo from the right sleeve and allow teams to sell a small ad to corporate partners in its place. The league estimates the new sponsorship opportunity will bring each team more than $1 million a year. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by National Realty, developers of prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at NRIA.net.
Bloomberg Surveillance.
This is Tom Keene.
And I'm Jonathan Farrow.
I'm the Fed and the guesstimate of inflation.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. This update brought to you by USCF. Invest in what's real. Visit USCFinvestments.com. That's USCFinvestments.com. And Bloomberg Daybreak is out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. The worst month in almost a decade for tech stocks sets the scene for today's earnings. Alphabet's results may be powered by digital ads and the cloud, but Amazon, ads, web services, and third-party retailing are in focus. As for yesterday's results, shares of AMD plunged 22% in late trading after a sales forecast tainted the S&P 500's top performer on the year. Microsoft's 76% jump in cloud revenue helped earnings beat estimates, and Tesla delivered an unexpected profit. PIMCO says the equity sell-off isn't the start of a big bear market. Economic advisor Yakim Fels says global GDP shows no signs of a more pronounced downturn. And Eric Holder and Maxine Waters were also among targets of suspected mail bombs yesterday. The FBI warns more packages may be on the way. For the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen?
Hannah, thank you. S&P futures up 22 points this morning. Dow futures up 182. NASDAQ futures up 108. The DAX in Germany is up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32. Yield 3.12%. Yield on the 2-year 2.84%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.1% or 6 cents to $66.75 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.3%, up $4.40 to $12.35.50 an ounce. The euro, $1.1414. The yen, 112.28. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Pat Carroll with more on what's going on around the world. Pat.
And Karen, we have this news just in. NBC News is reporting that police are investigating a suspicious package in Lower Manhattan, that it is Robert De Niro's house in Tribeca, according to NBC. That's the very latest. When we get more, we'll bring it to you. In other news, President Trump will be briefed by his CIA chief today as the crisis over the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi at the Saudi consulate in Istanbul continues to grow. A majority of Americans say their financial situation has not improved since the 2016 presidential election, despite low unemployment and a booming stock market. According to a Bankrate.com report, more than 6 in 10 Americans said they're no better off financially than they were 2 years ago. In baseball, the Red Sox have a 2-game-to-zip lead over the Dodgers in the World Series. Boston beat Los Angeles 4-2 in Game 2. In the NBA, the Knicks lost, the Nets won. The Warriors beat the Wizards 144-122. In the NHL, the Islanders lost. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pat Carroll. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Pat, it is 6:20 on Wall Street and live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak, and we're joined live by Jonathan Golub. He's an equity strategist at Credit Suisse. And Jonathan, I want to pick up on something Hannah George mentioned in the Daybreak report there. Tech earnings will be in focus today. It has been hit hard in this session so far. Where do you see tech going? Can we have a clearer picture after today?
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm not sure that today's earnings are going to be the key, but the earnings season overall has been fine. I mean, we've beaten estimates across the S&P by about 4.5%, which is almost exactly in line with what the earnings have been for the last 5 years when the stock market has been running. And even groups like industrials that are getting blamed for some of the carnage, 2 out of 3 industrial companies are doing better than estimates. So I think that we're painting a much more negative picture to try to explain the recent pullback in the market, and it's unjustified.
Yeah, it is interesting that the market really hasn't seemed to be buoyed by the earnings that we've seen. I mean, is there some thinking that as earnings season unfolds, there could be a turn to where things go in terms of the direction?
Well, I wish I could tell you that earnings were going to soothe the market, but 40% of the earnings results are already in. And matter of fact, today may be the biggest day. 15% of the entire market reports today, 70 companies in the S&P 500. So hopefully the market will be focusing on corporate profits rather than just trading on itself. And I think that that's really what's happening. The market is looking at what it traded at like yesterday, and then says, wow, the market must be telling me something. And it's kind of just getting in like a spin where it's using itself as the cause for nervousness as opposed to looking at corporate profits, which are, frankly, really good.
That's an interesting take, because a lot of what we've heard from many analysts is that the market is looking ahead to next year and the possibility of more rate hikes and further trade tensions. I mean, is that in play, too?
Well, there's no question about it. I mean, there's this expression that the market climbs a wall of worry, and there's a lot of there are a number of really legitimate potential concerns. I mean, the Fed is in tightening mode, not aggressively, but moving in that direction. Other central banks are doing the same thing. People are concerned about trade wars and midterms elections, but the result is not only is the market off recently, which is a little bit less the issue, but stocks have become cheaper and cheaper over the course of the year as earnings have just skyrocketed throughout 2018. And even before this downturn, stock prices were not keeping up with all this good news. So I would argue that the market has an awful lot of bad news already discounted. And if it doesn't come to bear that these things are as problematic as feared, I think that the market really could rally very big.
All right. So where do you see the bright spots then?
Well, the bright spots are the fact that the U.S. economy is in like an unbelievably good shape. The indicator that professional investors look at more than anything else is the ISM, which kind of says what is the intention of businesses to spend, and it's extremely high. It's close to 60. The employment situation is very strong. We're adding jobs at a robust pace, which means companies are absolutely hiring. Inflation, which is is something that's been on people's minds, is still well contained at about 2%. The environment is, the backdrop is really terrific, and corporate profits are going to absolutely slow next year, but they're going to slow to something that's healthy. We think it'll be about 8% growth, and that'll be great.
All right, with an eye on the eco data, Jonathan Golub, equity strategist for Credit Suisse. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Good morning. And futures contracts are pointing to a higher open on Wall Street a day after the sell-off. S&P futures ahead by 0.8% or 21 points. Dow futures up 172, 0.7% higher. NASDAQ futures up by 1.5%, 102 points.
Do political unrest...
Broadcasting live from the Interactive Broker Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston. Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco. Bloomberg 960. To the country. Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It is 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The sell-off that wiped out this year's gains for U.S. stocks continued in Asia today. Japan's Nikkei fell 3.7%, while the MSCI Asia Pacific Index pushed deeper into a bear market. Scott Minard is Chief Investment Officer for Guggenheim Partners.
I think the big psychological break was when the 10-year note went above 3%. Right. All of a sudden, it started to wake people up and say, oh, the Fed's raising interest rates. It's becoming competitive with stocks. All the same stories we were telling ourselves a month ago are still true. And it's a good time to maybe do some shopping.
U.S. futures and European equities are rebounding this morning. S&P futures are up 0.7%, while the Europe Stock 600 index is higher by almost 0.2%.
We have earnings from UBS. Shares are up more than 3% after results at its investment bank beat estimates.
Shares of WPP are down 18% in London. The world's largest advertising company revealed a big earnings miss and cut its sales outlook.
Shares of Tesla are up 8% in early trading after earnings results that blew away expectations. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with details. Good morning, John.
Nathan, Tesla reported a profit. That's just the third time in its history that's happened. Adjusted net income was $2.90 a share. Analysts were expecting a small loss. The free cash flow was about $881 million. That is a turnaround from the billions of dollars Tesla was burning on a quarterly basis. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. We're watching earnings here crossing the Bloomberg. Comcast reporting a third quarter profit that beat analyst estimates, taking a look at revenue that beat as well. In the third quarter, we do get earnings today as well from Alphabet, Amazon, Twitter, and Intel. In total, more than 70 companies in the S&P 500.
Also on today's schedule, Karen, the European Central Bank issues its policy decision at 7:45 a.m. Wall Street time. Remarks from President Mario Draghi, scheduled 45 minutes later at 8:30. It is 6:32 now on Wall Street. Time for the Volatility Index report, and the VIX surged yesterday to close at 25.23. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX is currently at 23.61. That is this morning's Volatility report.
All right, thanks, Nathan. And futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up 20 points. Dow futures up 157. NASDAQ futures up 99. The DAX in Germany is up 0.3%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32nds, yield 3.12%. And the yield on the 2 years at 2.84%. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Karen, thank you. It's 6:33 on Wall Street. The news update is brought to you by Investors Bank. Business wins here. Connect your team with the experts at Investors Bank for business solutions to move your business forward. Investors Bank, banking in your best interest. Member FDIC. Here's Bloomberg's Pat Carroll. Good morning, Pat.
Good morning, Nathan. And there's more breaking news just crossing the Bloomberg terminal. Saudi Arabia and Turkey are reporting they find the Khashoggi killing to have been premeditated. That's just crossing the terminal. And when we get more details, we'll bring them to you. And just breaking just moments before was this report. CNN reporting the NYPD is investigating a suspicious package delivered to an address in Lower Manhattan, which, according to NBC, was sent to Robert De Niro's restaurant in Tribeca. It comes as the FBI, Secret Service, and ATF are all involved in an investigation into crude pipe bombs sent to a number of top Democrats yesterday, including former President Obama and Hillary Clinton and CNN. President Trump told a rally in Wisconsin, no nation can succeed that tolerates violence as a method of political intimidation. Just last week, of course, the president praised a Montana congressman for body slamming a reporter. During his speech in Mosinee, Trump also commented on his composure.
And by the way, do you see how nice I'm behaving today? This is like, have you ever seen this? We're all behaving very well. And hopefully we can keep it that way, right?
The president also says it's the media that must stop the hostility. One of the package bombs that was delivered to CNN was addressed to former CIA Director John Brennan, who says the country has reached an unfortunate stage in its national history.
Unfortunately, I think Donald Trump too often has helped to incite some of these feelings of anger, if not violence.
Brennan made his comments last night at a pre-scheduled event in Austin, Texas. It was a testy debate last night between New Jersey Democratic Senator Bob Menendez and Republican rival Bob Hugin. In their only debate ahead of the election, Hugin said the two-term senator failed and embarrassed us. Menendez called Hugin greedy over high cancer drug prices. UK Prime Minister Theresa May survived a meeting with Conservative Party lawmakers last evening as they largely decided to express public loyalty rather than venting private frustrations. Bloomberg's Alex Morales in London has more.
May told the closed-door meeting of the 1922 Committee of rank-and-file lawmakers to hold their nerve as she pursues a Brexit deal. Although there were critical questions, by and large the meeting chose to rally around the Prime Minister, according to several people present. Even so, her cabinet is deeply divided about her European Union negotiating strategy, and the number of Tories committed to vote against her plan is growing by the day. So while there was no challenge to her leadership on Wednesday, it remains an ever-present threat. In London, Alex Morales, Bloomberg Daybreak.
In baseball, the Red Sox have a 2-game lead over the Dodgers in the World Series after Boston beat L.A. 4-2 in Game 2. In the NBA, the Knicks lost, the Nets won, the Warriors beat the Wizards 144-122. In the NHL, the Islanders lost. And repeating a breaking story across the Bloomberg terminal just minutes ago, Saudi Arabia and Turkey are saying they find the Khashoggi killing premeditated. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pat Carroll. This is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Pat, thank you. 6:36 now on Wall Street as we continue to try to make sense of the sell-off yesterday on Wall Street. Let's bring in Gina Martin Adams. She's the chief U.S. equity strategist for Bloomberg Intelligence. Looks like we're set up for a rebound at the open this morning. Gina, is the sell-off over?
Good question. Thanks for putting me on the spot first thing in the morning.
Okay,
I do think that you're naturally going to get a recovery after a massive waterfall day like yesterday. It reminds me very much of earlier in the month. We had a massive gain, decline in the S&P 500 and more than 100 points on a day. We had a couple days of rebound following it. The real question is whether or not the rebound is a dead cat bounce or the beginning of recovery, and I think that answer will depend on a few factors. I think if it's the beginning of a recovery, it will include probably falling real interest rates. The two-year treasury above 2% has been problematic for stocks all year. I think if we get a little bit of easing inflation concerns, a little bit of easing in rates at the same time, that can go a long way toward improving the outlook. And then you need to see positive reactions to earnings season unfold over the next couple of weeks. Unlike past earnings season, very strong beats are not being met with market advances, and I'd like to see that shift and start to turn around to confirm that the decline that we've experienced is indeed over.
All right, well, let me put you on the spot again, if I may. You say this slump reminds you of the ones we saw earlier this month. Are there any differences between this possible correction and the sell-offs we saw earlier?
I think that this what we've experienced in October is pretty consistent across the board. It's been about higher real rates. The market is clearly nervous, and in a world in which the Fed has removed the word accommodative, the Fed is continuing to march toward a tighter phase, and that's not making stock price multiples terribly happy. We look at the trailing multiple. We're back to 18.2 times trailing earnings. Our market says we get to 18 to fully price in interest rates, so we're getting pretty close there. You know, I also think that there's a component of this that's about resetting the outlook. 2019 earnings estimates have declined for the better part of a month or so. And until we get some stability in the outlook, we're likely to continue to experience some weakness. And then I think the third factor that's less talked about these days is China. Certainly some weakness in Chinese growth, as well as this ongoing fear of persistent tariff pressures emerging is creating problems for risk tolerance. It's creating problems for the market earnings stream. And if we could get some resolution on that, that could go a long way to improving things. But until those things really change, I do think the market is in for a period of weakness.
So then do you think that those factors, those macro factors, are part of the reason why the market doesn't seem to be responding positively to the earnings?
Absolutely. You know, the current earnings only go so far to solving the market's concerns about the outlook. You can get magnificent beats in the near term, but unless companies are guiding to expect those beats to continue in the quarters ahead, the macro factors are taking over in terms of driving sentiment for the stock market. So I do think that, yes, it's a combination of factors, but unless, you know, either these macro factors start to ease or you get companies really suggesting that the outlook is actually quite strong and investors are, there's no need for investors to panic over margins or revenue growth out of China or even bottom line earnings growth. I think until you get to that point, it's just going to be a tough road for the equity investor.
A lot for the market to keep in mind in the months ahead. Gina Martin Adams, Chief U.S. Equity Strategist for Bloomberg Intelligence. Thanks for joining us this morning on Bloomberg Daybreak. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg Radio on a Thursday morning. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by National Realty, developers of prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at nria.net.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures this morning are climbing. Let's go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, good morning, Karen. That's right. A bounce in the U.S. futures after yesterday's weakness, with Dow futures up 178 points. S&P's gained 21, and Nasdaq climbs by 97. The U.S. 10-year at 3.13%. Japan fell 3% overnight. European markets are trading higher right now, led by 1.7% gains in Italy. Note that at 7:45 is the ECB rate decision. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, durable goods orders and initial jobs claims. At 10 o'clock, pending home sales. And at 11 o'clock, the Kansas City Fed. After the bell last night, Visa operating revenue missed estimates. Microsoft beat. Tesla reported free cash flow of $881 million. Shares are up 8% in the pre-market. And AMD is down 18% pre-market after its results. Regarding earnings this morning, Merck is just out. Earnings were mixed, but is buying back $10 billion in stock and raising the dividend. And look for Altria and Twitter around 7 o'clock. American Airlines and Celgene to report around 7:30. In other news, Pershing Square built a 3.7% stake in Hilton. And wrapping things up, Caterpillar's upgrade to hold over at DZ Bank. Ingersoll Rand upgrade to overweight at KeyBank. Hilton was upgraded to outperform at Wells Fargo. And Rail Norfolk Southern upgraded to buy over at Stifel. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Pat Carroll with more on what's going on around the world. Pat.
Karen, the NYPD says it is investigating a suspicious package delivered to an address in Lower Manhattan now. According to NBC, the package was sent to Robert De Niro's restaurant in the Tribeca section of Manhattan. This comes as other crude pipe bombs were sent to other prominent Democrats yesterday, including former President Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, and to CNN. Saudi Arabia and Turkey committee members are joining a chorus of voices saying the killing of journalist Jamal Khashoggi was premeditated. Little by little, the migrant caravan's making its way to the U.S. border. It is getting smaller in size as some people have dropped out from either sickness or fear. In baseball, the Red Sox now have a 2-game lead over the Dodgers in the World Series. Boston beat Los Angeles 4-2 in Game 2. In the NBA, the Knicks lost, the Nets won. The Warriors beat the Wizards 144-122. In the NHL, the Islanders lost. And finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, David Schwimmer insists he is not the infamous Blackpool beer robber. The thief just looks exactly like the Friends actor, unfortunately, in a self-made video. Schwimmer can be seen shuffling down a bodega aisle with a case of beer, looking nervous. Nathan, it has been viewed by about 300,000 people online, according to the New York Post.
Well, the New York Post notwithstanding, I can tell you that I am one of those people. And I got to say, David Schwimmer, you better have an alibi because it does look exactly like you.
Does he really need the work? All right.
Going down a bodega aisle, I guess. Yeah.
Nathan, Global News, 24 hours a day on air and a TikTok on Twitter powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Pat Carroll. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Pat. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump giving a speech this afternoon on drug pricing at the Department of Health and Human Services. Federal Reserve Vice Chair Richard Clarida discusses the economic outlook and monetary policy at the Peterson Institute. And former Trump campaign advisor George Papadopoulos goes behind closed doors today before the House Judiciary and Oversight Committees. Also making news this morning, as Pat mentioned, more suspicious packages sent to more places. Let's get the very latest now from Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. We just heard the reports from NBC that Robert De Niro's restaurant in Tribeca is the latest target here. And, following former President Obama, former Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, and other prominent Democrats apparently being targets of these suspicious packages, the pattern is tough to mistake here, Kate.
Definitely. It seems like a very clear pattern's emerging. And if anything, it seems like the scope of the individuals that are being targeted is widening. Robert De Niro was very critical of the president earlier this year in a public forum at an awards ceremony. And I think that, unlike some of the other people who have been targeted, if this turns out to be a similar event, he's obviously a celebrity, an actor, and not, a politician or former politician or Democratic, major Democratic donor like George Soros. So it seems almost like the scope of those being targeted is expanding.
Yeah, and it has been fascinating to watch President Trump's reaction to this, calling for unity, but at the same time, putting a bit of an edge on it.
He did. It really struck me overall when I saw the quote from his rally last night. He called for unity and said we need peace and harmony. I mean, those aren't types of words that we typically hear Trump saying. It's very kind of un-Trumpian of him. But then, he did go on to basically say the media shares a responsibility for disseminating what he described as, having sort of a hostile tone and raising the sort of the level of civility in public discourse. He blamed the media in part for that. We did see Trump kind of come back to being more of what we're used to seeing from Trump. And I thought it was interesting that he even asked the crowd last night, he noted how see how kind I'm being. This isn't usual for me, right? So even the president, I think, acknowledged that it was a bit of a change in tone for him.
Yeah, I wonder, it's probably sounds a little too callous to put it this way, but when we are less than 2 weeks away from the election, how could this, if at all, affect the midterms?
Well, I think it's hard to separate, what's going on right now from the fact that there's major elections coming up. I think to me, it just injects yet another variable into potentially how these elections could shake out. Obviously, I think everyone has agreed that it's a good thing that so far none of these devices have gone off. But, if people continue to be targeted or, God forbid, if somebody actually is injured, this could really change the conversation and kind of dominate the dialogue heading into the elections. And, what the impact of that is, I think, is hard to gauge at this point, but it's really just kind of another variable and certainly not, doesn't reflect well on Republicans necessarily. So, that's something that I think they're well aware of.
Well, let's move on to the other breaking news this morning. A joint Saudi and Turkish committee has just come out with its finding on the killing of Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi inside the consulate in Istanbul, finding now that it was premeditated. How could this play out now?
Well, I think that provides this finding provides another kind of level of clarity on what's been sort of an open question since Khashoggi disappeared earlier this month, at the beginning of the month, several weeks ago now. And I think that this will continue, as several other developments have done, to increase the pressure on the U.S. To respond in some way, and also, you know, increase the pressure on Saudi Arabia to be more forthcoming about what actually happened.
Could we see more clarity later today as far as what President Trump's response might be after he hears from CIA Director Gina Haspel, who's been in the region?
Definitely. And, you know, The Washington Post reported that Haspel did hear a tape of the encounter between Khashoggi and the Saudi official, and the Saudis in the consulate. And so I think that, you know, that will certainly be probably a topic of discussion in the meeting, I would assume. And there'll be a lot of questions after the meeting about whether or not that, in fact, did happen.
All right. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter, thanks as always for these insights on two important pieces of breaking news this morning. And you can read more on these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. A reminder as well that you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington. Just tune in on your radio to Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
Thanks, Nathan. It's 6:55 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. Here's John Tucker. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Karen. When operating a small business in the city that never sleeps, it may also be the case the owner never sleeps. There's plenty to worry about in New York City. And for Noel Donovan, managing partner at Bloom's Tavern on the Upper East Side, rent and wages top the list. He's facing the third minimum wage increase in 5 years, and something has to give.
Sadly, our prices will have to increase, which we don't want to do. I think really this wage increase, the bottom line is people, you know, our guests will be hit with bigger prices, not just us, throughout the city. I can already see prices increasing everywhere.
Well, Donovan, who arrived in New York from Limerick, Ireland in June of 2000, first scraped by waiting tables. He worked his way up to manager and now as part owner of his own place. The reality of tighter margins is setting in. He refuses to cut back on service. He believes it makes his tavern stand out in a crowded market. And that's today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. Karen.
All right, John, thank you. Again, it's a busy morning for corporate earnings. More than 70 companies in the S&P 500 are scheduled to report. We just heard from Raytheon. It reported earnings per share from continuing operations for the third quarter that beat the highest analyst estimate. Its shares are up 3.5% in early trading right now. Comcast also moving higher this morning, up 1.7%. It reported third quarter profit that beat analyst estimates. Merck's profit also beat, and it set a $10 billion buyback plan. Lazard, meanwhile, missed. Futures this morning, they're climbing. S&P futures up about 21 points. Dow futures up 170. NASDAQ futures are up 95. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 6/32nds, yield 3.12%, and the yield on the 2-year 2.84%. The 30-year yield at 3.34%. And NYMEX crude oil is at $66.82 a barrel. Straight ahead, Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.